Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to The Villain Was Right, the podcast where we look at movies and TV shows from the villain's perspective and dare to ask, were they really all that bad? I'm your host, Craig Faye.
And I'm your host, Rebecca Reeds.
And this week on the podcast, we're covering John Q. John... A Denzel movie.
Yeah.
I don't think we've done a tons of Denzel. Oh, good thing this is, we're off to a great start already. I think I'm six words in and I've screwed up four of them.
Hey, you made the weirdest noise before we started.
Yeah. I was kind of half burping through all that introduction, man.
So funny.
Oh, we're starting off. Yeah.
We're on one today.
But we haven't really done too many Denzel movies.
No, we haven't. Because most of his, well, I feel like he's in a lot of like action roles.
Action, hard drama.
You know what I mean? And this is a hard drama as well, I would say. No exception. I was like, oh, because for this recording, we'd also done She's the Man.
Yes.
And I started with She's the Man because I was like, oh, this is a movie I'm very familiar with. Yeah. I'm going to watch this. It's going to be a bop. Love Amanda Bynes. Like, yes. And then John Q, I was like, okay, this is going to be, in my head, I was like, okay, we're going to watch this man go on a rampage. Like,
a that's bop, what, this is not.
Oh, no. This is a hard, like, this is... You're going to have some feelings.
Yeah.
You're going to feel some feelings watching this movie. I wasn't expecting all the feelings because I had never heard of this movie. I hadn't watched it. I was unaware of its existence, to be honest with you.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I don't know how that happened, but what year did this movie come out?
This is early 2000s. I don't have the exact date right now. But yeah, it was definitely one of those ones that was like, I was very much aware of it.
Okay.
I knew the plot of it.
Yes.
But I don't think I'd ever seen the full thing. I knew lines from it, like Denzel being like, I am not going to bury my son.
Oh, buddy.
Like, oh.
Nailed that.
Let me just say, like, not the greatest movie ever made, right? I have some problems with, like,
oh, yeah.
Especially some of the lines of, like, secondary characters and stuff like that. And I'm like, oh, okay. I see how it's, like, you know, a mid-tier movie or whatever, but let me tell you, Denzel Washington in this is just like, oh, he's knocking it out of the park in everything. He makes you feel every moment of what he's saying.
Oh, no, I believe.
And I was like, oh, right, it's been a while since I've seen Denzel Washington in something. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, right, you're one of the best.
Oh, yeah, he nails the fuck out of this.
Yeah.
2002.
Okay. 2002, so very early.
That's why 2000s. I've missed it, because I'm like, I'm 12.
Yeah, this is not a movie for 12-year-olds.
No, it's not. It's not within my...
no, not your purview.
Yeah, she's the man? Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. We'll be finding that. Thank you.
I love it. But guys, if you, like Rebecca, have not seen John Q before listening to this, one, it's a movie. It stars Denzel Washington as as John Quincy Archibald, a.k.a. John Q. And he is a blue-collar worker in America. And it very much starts off with, let me just say, the movie starts off with a woman absolutely getting murked by some transport trucks in a BMW. That's how the movie starts. That comes in handy. That comes to be very important later in the movie, but you don't know what the significance of that is at the beginning.
I'll save it. Sorry.
But then we're introduced to John Q, and he's like a hard worker. He's a steel worker. They're cutting his shifts at work. They're repossessing his car. His wife is working. They're having trouble making ends meet. You know, things are tough, but he's like, he's a hardworking guy. He's a good dad. Blah, blah, blah. It's like, you love him. It's like, oh, he's the American dream. And then his son is at a baseball game and collapses at a baseball game. They take him to the hospital. It's a heart condition. Turns out the kid needs a transplant like immediately because he has this like this problem. And he goes to his insurance, and his insurance is like, well, you're part-time now, so like you only get covered for like $20,000. And the hospital's like, your insurance doesn't cover this at all. It's like, we need $75,000 cash just to put your kid on the donor list. And he's getting donations from the church. You see him do everything, right? And it doesn't work out. Finally, his wife is just like, they're going to send him home to die, John. You need to do something. Do something. Very desperate mother.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And also desperate man as well.
Yes.
And so he decides to, to get a gun and hold the emergency room at this hospital hostage, including the cardiac surgeon who is going to do his... is supposed to do his son's surgery if they get on the donor list. And a whole bunch of kind of, I don't know, characters, I guess, are stuck in the ER with him. And the police come and there's a standoff and we've got Robert Duvall as, I'm not making this up, Lieutenant Frank Grimes.
I know.
I laughed when I read that on Wikipedia. I was like, that's not what Frank Grimes is anymore.
Every time they said his Grimy. Name, I was like, buddy.
That's a Simpsons character. Yes. You can't do that. And he's the sort of hostage negotiator. And we've got Chief Gus Monroe, Ray Liotta, who's the police chief, who kind of tries to come in. Anyway, there's like kind of some national coverage. They try and shoot John Q at one point, but it's on live TV, so everyone sees it, and everyone's kind of like rallying around it. He's like, the healthcare system in America is broken, and just like, I want you to put my son on that list, and he's waving this gun around. And finally, at the end, he's like, oh, I'm going to kill myself, and you can use my heart to transplant into my son because we've done all the tests. Mm-hmm. We know I'm compatible. That's the only way this is going to end. Like, don't let that heart go to waste. And then right at the end, turns out that that woman who had died in the car crash is the perfect donor for her son. And it all lines up. They put him on the list because, Anne Heche, who's the hospital director and is like, we're sending your son home. You owe us money, blah, blah, blah. Kind of has a turn of heart and is like, we'll put him on the list.
Yeah.
And he gets the transplant immediately, is saved. So they literally save John Q at the last minute. He's about to shoot himself. He actually does shoot himself once, but the safety is still on his gun.
That seems crazy.
Yeah.
Because I didn't think, I was like, there's no way he's going to click it. And then he goes, and I was like, oh, shit. No,
Oh, he was willing to do it. And then his son gets saved and is healthy, and he goes to trial. And he's found not guilty of attempted murder and one other thing, but then he's found guilty of kidnapping and wrongful imprisonment.
Yeah.
And goes to jail, and he's like,
ending with a court scene, how children's movie of you.
Yes. Uh-huh. And then drives up Bay Street in Toronto past King and Adelaide.
Oh, I didn't even clock
that. Oh, yeah. I was like, is that Old City Hall? That's Old City Hall. And then I look up in the corner. I was like, oh, fuck, that's Adelaide and Richmond. Right? You can see the signs. Yeah. I was like, that's Toronto.
Okay, yeah.
And that's John Q. That's just a lighthearted romp of a...
Jesus Christ.
But morally complex.
Yes. Yes. Although there were some people I definitely hated more than others. Yeah.
So who did you peg as the villains of
obviously,
this movie?
Number one being, like, there's the woman that controls the accounts.
Rebecca Payne.
Payne. The fact that they made her last name Payne is hilarious. I think that's maybe some of the... some of the stuff of like why this maybe wasn't the greatest movie is some of the stuff like that, in my opinion, where I'm like, oh, we don't really have, like, this is a little too loose for me. So Rebecca Payne, definitely. The heart surgeon is definitely another one. I would say Ray Liotta.
Yeah,
for
the
sure.
police chief who just wants to get it over with because it's bad for publicity.
Definitely. And then the larger villain here just being the state of America at that time, like healthcare system.
Yes. Insurance
economy,
companies and all
and
that.
And all that background stuff.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I agree with that.
Have I missed? The guy that was beating his girlfriend.
Oh, the guy who beats his girlfriend and tries to. Yeah. The one of the hostages.
Yes.
Do you want to start with him? Because I feel like he is largely indefensible, except for one action.
I literally, the whole time, I was like, I could care less if this character dies.
Yeah. Fair.
Like, when his girlfriend starts beating the shit out of him, I'm like, great.
That, okay. Weirdly enough, that was a scene where I was like, I'm not sure if you've earned this yet. Like, one, he's beating up his girlfriend.
Yeah.
And, like, the whole thing is, like, we all know it. Like, yes. she didn't break her arm mm-hmm. in a car accident.
Yeah.
You're full of shit. You're a piece of shit mm-hmm. guy. But I think the one thing he does where he tries to attack John Q mm-hmm. with a scalpel and like he sprays something in his face and attacks him with a scalpel.
Yep.
Honestly, I can't blame him for trying. You're in a hostage situation with a guy with a gun.
Oh, yeah. But I'm just saying if his girlfriend wants to put in a few swift kicks, I think she's allowed.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But I also don't get like his girlfriend, immediately siding with John Q in that hostage situation. You know what I mean? Like to me, he's a piece of shit. Yeah. Absolutely. But also my priority is to get out of this situation right now.
I don't know. I kick him. That's my
kick
opinion.
Him. That's
kick
fine.
Him. Fuck him. Okay. I don't even think it's a sides thing. I think it's like a, no, fuck this man specifically.
Yeah, fair enough. Like, this is the opportunity I have to kick him in the face, and I'm going to take it.
I'm going
to
take it.
At all costs.
And I respect that.
Yeah. Mm. And also, I'm not a blonde. I'm a brunette.
That was another thing where I'm like, okay, so, like, are we trying to add levity or no?
Yeah.
I can't tell because it's not good enough to release the tension, in my opinion.
Yes.
Because you've created too much tension.
I feel everything here very deeply.
Well, yeah, that kid's so fucking cute. Well, first of all,
yeah.
Now, you know, if first of all, you're just like, okay, you could truly understand the motivations of this character.
Yes.
This is a character that has been absolutely beaten the fuck down, okay?
Backed into a corner.
This man is backed into a corner, okay? This movie starts with, like, other than the car crash, which I would like to talk about shortly. Other than that, like, it starts with his truck getting possessed. Like, one of his vehicles getting possessed, repossessed. And then And then you know, his son collapsing and them finding out that he has this heart condition. And then just him literally punching in, like, stacks, like, he's counting stacks of bills anywhere he can get money.
Selling TVs for $20.
Refrigerator. Like, he's selling everything he owns. And who wouldn't? Okay, again, truly understand these motivations. He understands, he sells absolutely everything he can. He's stacking up all these bills and it's only adding up to, like, you know, like $4,000 here. And, like, you know, every person he talks to is a fucking asshole.
Yeah, it's like, there's a great line where so one doctor comes to him in the hospital and she's like, don't give up. Don't take no for an answer.
Mm-hmm.
There's financial aid available. Go to that, chase it down, write your senator, blah, blah, blah. She's like, do not give up on it. Like, this, you owe this money is not the end of this. Do not give up on this kid. She's great. And so he does that and he goes to financial aid and they're like, you don't qualify for this. Your insurance doesn't cover it. And they go, well, your insurance pays $20,000, but, like, now you don't, because you have some insurance, you don't qualify for financial aid, right? And his line is, I'm broke and my son is dying. If I don't qualify, who does?
Yeah.
And you go, yeah.
Yeah.
Great point.
He's making some really good points. Okay. Yeah.
Well, and the sort of the like, my big question about this is, or the thing I took away from this movie, rather, was when is, like, is taking a emergency room hostage with a gun a good thing to do? No. But the question I walked away with this was, is when is it okay to respond to violence with violence? Because what they are doing to his son and what they are doing to him and his family
is violence.
Yeah. It's systemic violence, but it's it's violence.
Absolutely.
Where you go, oh, you don't have money, so you're going to sit and watch your kid die?
Yeah.
We're going to take literally everything from you, even for just the hope of having your son be put on a list, which, by the way, no guarantee once you get on the list, yes. right? Like, lots of people die. It's a sad thing, but lots of people die on the donor list because it doesn't come up. So you go, like, when, like, the system is violent to him, people like him, the insurance company is, you know, enacting violence on him. So when is it okay to respond to violence with violence? You know? Like, that's kind of the moral, that's, like, kind of the question of this movie.
When I was kind of with him.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, right?
Like, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
What do you want? I felt violent just listening to an interviewer be like, you're actually overqualified. I'm like,
oh, that scene?
I want to put you through a wall, man. Like, what do you mean overqualified? I was losing it.
Oh, yeah. And, oh, I mean, like, what a great scene for establishing character. He's like, I got to get this job. I got to get my life. This is before his kid gets sick.
Yes.
Right? And he goes, his friend's like, what are you doing here, man? There's 500 applicants for one position. Mm. And John Q's like, oh, if they weren't hiring, why would they put it in the paper? And he goes, because his friend calls it too. He goes, this job is already given to somebody's nephew or somebody. It's already in the bag for somebody. Mm-hmm. They're just going through the motions. And he's like, well, why would they put it in the paper though if they're not hiring? Like, just the eternal optimist. His friend is dead, and he's like, they're going to tell you you're overqualified, and then you're overqualified. You are not overqualified.
It's impossible.
For any job that you're actually applying for.
Yes.
Right?
I'm here. What the fuck do you mean? And he's like, I could start today. That person is worth so much because they're going to do everything.
Yeah.
Because they fucking need this shit. Okay, they need this crappy job or they need, you know, they need you.
Yeah.
Okay, it really freaks me out, man. It's like every time, you know, we're talking about how, like, you know, Canada is not in a recession, and then I'll just see, like, a lineup at a job fair and I want to peel all my own skin off because I was like, oh, no, this is bad.
Yeah, this is
bad. Not all the way, like, three blocks. What do you mean? I'm not getting into that. Like, I'm just going to keep walking and go, you know what? I think I'm just going to keep walking past this. This isn't for me. I can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I don't have a family. So that's,
it's a bit
different. Okay. Nobody depends on me.
Yes.
Okay. And the desperation when somebody depends on you is exponentially shot the fuck up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Plus this gets so funny.
All the kids are like, he's like, I'm not into wrestling, Dad. I'm into bodybuilders. So I was like, okay, that's great.
I think the thing that got me was when he was like, I can't remember exactly what the line is, but he just doesn't like goodbyes. He's like, it's like, see you later.
Oh, yeah. It's, you know what? I did feel that was a little, I was like, that seems like a weird thing for a kid to say.
No, I'm like, make him a smart kid. I don't care. Yeah. I don't give a fuck. Okay.
And then the movie ends with him going to prison and him saying that to his son. You're like, all right, that came back around.
Yes. And okay. I would love to talk about the car crash just very quickly because I'm like,
yeah. Oh, sorry, we've been getting
buddy.
Get
erase that scene. Why? Why do we need, like, and I get it, like, oh, and it comes back around. I'm like, in the way that we all saw it coming from the second it happened,
yeah,
like. The second that kid dropped, I was like, okay, so he's getting that woman's something. Like, before they even said it was a heart or whatever, I was like, okay, so he's getting something from that woman that we saw not 10 minutes
ago. She's an organ donor, for
yes!
sure.
Yes! Yeah. Oh, my God. And I just love that the movie's perspective of this is like, yes, okay, because she was being bad on the road. It's like, funny. Like, we feel nothing for this woman. Do you know what I mean? That felt like it was kind of a vibe.
Think we were like,
maybe she had an emergency.
She was like, we were like, yay.
Well, what if, Craig, what if she had to take a shit? What if, truly?
We have all, yeah.
What if she's on the road? She has to take a shit, and she's like, you know,
I
have to pass this transport truck, or I'm gonna paint the inside of this fucking vehicle right
this
now.
This Beamer.
Yeah. I gotta go. Okay, we don't know. I'm just saying, it seemed pretty like.
Yeah, I think she's actually credited as it's a beautiful BMW driver. Yeah. Just getting absolutely destroyed.
Top of the cast list.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's in order of appearance, too, which I love. I will say, I kind of like that they started the movie with that. Because here's the thing. And I'm just going to disagree with you just a little bit here. Because they start the movie with that, and you don't have any attachment to any character yet, right? Mm. Not knowing that the movie is about the kid getting sick or whatever. Yeah. You just see a terrible tragedy where a woman that you don't know or are unattached to gets killed in a bad traffic accident.
Yeah.
And then the real story starts and you feel bad for that woman. You're like, she didn't deserve to die there. And the story goes on and you go like, oh, and the heart that this kid is going to get isn't like, you're not rooting. If they had shown that later in the movie, you kind of would be rooting for that woman to die a little bit because you're so attached to the kid and you want that heart to save the kid.
No, sorry, which my is not point the was point. Don't show it at all.
Okay, don't show
don't,
it at all.
Don't
just
have that
just
scene.
Somebody came in.
Because for me, it took away all of the tension at the end because I knew that's what was going to happen.
Right.
It took away all that. I knew he wasn't going to die. I knew he wasn't
well, the
like,
kid, yeah. I was not sure about John Q.
I knew he wasn't going to die when he was like, he was going to do it himself. Like, I was like, there's potential for like police shootout or something like that. But I don't think we see that woman die and also Denzel die. I don't think we did that happens.
I mean,
right?
It's a much more depressing movie if he kills himself and then the heart.
Oh, no, of course.
He gets the heart from the woman.
But they wouldn't do that, okay, is what I'm saying.
They wouldn't, right?
No,
they wouldn't
like,
do that.
Movies will not do that. Not in 2002, okay? I don't think so, okay? I don't think they're doing that to me. So, like, the whole time, I just, like, it took away the tension for me because I was like, I know what's...
Gotcha, okay, I see
I was like,
saying.
I know you're getting this lady's heart, like, the whole time. As soon as he collapsed, I was like, okay, I don't know how we get there, but I know we get there.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's where we arrive.
That's fair.
Like, when she's running to him and he's, like, gonna get... I'm like, nah, she gets there. Like, it's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, okay, I see what you're saying.
Yes.
That makes sense. The one big villain is Rebecca Payne, the hospital director.
Yeah.
This is a point where I feel like the movie could have used a little more subtlety and nuance. Like, I think its point is spot on. It's like, this is an inhumane system that treats people badly.
Absolutely,
and like,
yes.
Like, it's spot on. But, like, the choice of portraying her... They sort of portray her as like cackling Wicked Witch of the West almost villain, where like the conversation she's like, by the way, this is cash only because your insurance doesn't cover it. Pay us or get the fuck out. Like, it's not quite that extreme.
Yeah.
But so many of the looks she's giving and the like rolling her like, oh my God, they're crying that we just broke the news to them that their son is dying. Can we get on with the business of this now?
I kind of clocked that as somebody that the hospital would believe is amazing at their job.
Yeah.
You would have to be that cold-hearted and calculated if that's what you've been hired to do. My only defense for this woman was that she's really good at her job.
Well, yeah, she comes like, around to it, right?
You, and I mean your job within like the evilness of it. It's
a
like
a very bad system.
Yes. Of like a horrible, horrible system, but you're doing very well at that. Does
yeah.
that make any sense?
Yeah. And
where I'm like, okay, if this woman, because if, and I hate this, as, and none of this should go down, obviously, okay? I fully believe that the child should get a heart, of course. But say, let me pitch you a scenario where this woman resists and goes, no, okay, yeah, of course. We're going to get him a heart, no problem. Okay, don't worry. You'll pay us back. Okay. But then she does that. She's got to do that to everybody. And now she's fired. And now it's somebody more evil than you, because now that's the only way this job can be hired.
100%.
It's the only way to go up.
I love that. Like, and that's why I want more complexity in that character.
Yes.
Where it's not just like, well, if I do it for you, then I'm going to have to do it for everybody. But it's like, that's true. But I also kind of want to see you trying to pull as many strings as you can.
Yes, some behind the scenes.
Or like, you know, someone to like just... Instead of her, like, it seems like she has a turn at the end where it's like, so there's a plot point where they say, okay, we'll just lie to him about putting his son's name on the list to end the hostage situation. Mm-hmm. And the cop goes like, ah, good for you. That was a solid lie. You told him, you know? And she goes, no, I actually put him on the list.
Yeah.
And that's like supposed to be the turn where it's like, oh, she does really see
care. Well, no, because
we need to see that
because she's watching him, she watches the speech and she starts to get all teared up. But I'm like, how did a speech let you know that this kid's gonna die, but not this people dying around you the whole time?
Yeah.
How has this not rattled you at least fucking once?
Yes.
It's insane.
Yeah.
Also, so like, just, oh my God, I can't even imagine. Like, just so defeating to work in a field where you're like, I want to help people, and all you can do is not help the, like, you're just like, oh, I get to help all the rich people.
Yeah, right.
To help all the rich people, which is displayed by that elderly couple, where he's like, will I be able to play tennis soon? And he's like joking around with them, and he's like, yeah. Like, we're not going to get this, like, I don't know how old the kid is, but he's young, like really young.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, ah, ha, 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 we gave this old bastard a heart. And it's like, yeah, that is pretty fucked.
that's real fucked, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And even the doctor is like, listen, I've recommended your son for a heart transplant.
Mm-hmm.
James Woods being like, I have offered personally to waive my fee. Like, so he's, okay, you're going to do heart surgery for free. Great. Like, and then there's nothing more he can do because the system is broken. And I'm not saying that rich guy doesn't deserve a heart as well. He does, you know, probably a different heart, obviously, like you got to match people.
Oh, yeah, different, yes.
But like, you know, there's, and that's why I needed more subtlety in that director, that director thing, because I was like.
Yeah, like, she's basically like rubbing her hands, like.
Yeah, the one scene I really despised in this, and I know they did it for like, to make a point where it's like they give the diagnosis in this like big cold conference room with the business people there.
Mm-hmm.
Like that to me is too like they're like doing like a PowerPoint presentation. It's like, as you can see, your son's heart is swollen to three times its size.
Here and here.
And it's like, anyway, let's sit down and talk about how you're going to pay for this.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And they're like, have you considered letting your son die?
Oh, and my
like,
God.
It'd be much cheaper if you just let him die.
Yes.
It's like, and don't get me wrong. That's also, I know that is a, like, that's a medical choice. You can be like, it's not worth the surgery. He may not get through the surgery.
And they are pushing a certain agenda. But I do believe it is true that it's like, obviously, this is a very big risk.
Yeah.
So you can decide if you want to, like, take him to Disneyland or see what happens.
Yeah. But just like I don't know. And just the disdain that they have in that scene. I was like, you're too much of a villain in this. I want to feel like there are humans on the other side of that table who are forced by the system to do their little thing, just as John Q is forced by the system to do his thing.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And it's like, this, here's the thing, is this movie, the hospital administrator is not the villain. The doctor is not the villain. John Q is not the villain. Heart disease, certainly a villain.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Jesus.
But the real villain in this is the system the American healthcare system as it's set up, being like, anyway, you guys fight it out. We'll just count our money up here. Like, listen, I know this is uncontroversial in all but one Western democracy, but your health should not be dependent on your employment at all.
No.
Rebecca, when I quit being an engineer, good job, good pay, good benefits.
Yeah.
You know, when I quit that to do comedy full time, be self-employed, I never once, not even once, thought about what happens if I break my leg. What happens if I get cancer? What happens if I'm in a bad car accident, right? I never once thought of that as a thing that could possibly derail me. Of all the things that could derail me, of all the risks I was taking, striking out to going on my own, I did not have to worry about that. And I think you hold people back from starting new businesses, from starting new careers, from taking risks, the things that pay off in the world by doing that. Because you go, well, I don't know, I got a kid with diabetes, I guess I can't open a restaurant now.
Yeah.
Because I better stay working for somebody who gives me shit health benefits so I can pay for my kid's insulin, right?
Oh, God.
Like, how many people would take more risks and strive for more if that's a thing they didn't have to worry about?
Buddy, the whole time I was watching this movie, I was like, try not to get this episode to bum you out. Try not to get this episode to bum you out.
I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry. It's what the movie's fucking about.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like the entire time I was watching it, I was just like, I hate every part of this. I hate it.
It's insurance and how
the kid. Like, first of all, I gotta tell you, I hate, and I know this isn't the takeaway from this fucking movie at the fuck all, but I gotta tell you, I fucking hate paperwork. I watching this man line up again and again and being told like, no, actually you're in the wrong line, or no, that's not the right form, or no, you don't actually qualify for that. I can actually, even talking about it right now, I can feel the heat. Feel the heat in my chest.
Yep. Oh, bureaucracy. You know what really pissed me off about that scene where he's lying, that he gets the counter and he's like, you're in the wrong line. It's line 15. And they go and they look around. I looked at that scene and none of the desks were numbered. How did he know it was supposed to be desk 15?
Yeah, man.
My God, man. We live in a society. How hard is it to get a piece of printer paper and just stick it up on the wall?
Jesus Christ.
I would have that place running like a Swiss watch. Within a week.
Yeah.
All your forms would be approved.
Like a spend. Like, won't somebody think of the children? I was screaming that the whole time. I was like, this kid's so... I was just like, it was... Yeah, this was a... You know what happened with this movie? I started watching it at night. I watched the first half hour and I went, no, I need to watch this at daytime.
This is a daytime movie.
This is a daytime movie for Rebecca because she will get sad. I was just like, I can't, because I don't think there's enough fucking Bob's Burgers in the world to wipe that from my, you know what I mean? Like, I would need a solid 3 hours of mindless TV and fun and shenanigans
and to make up for wipe this.
The John Q of it all out.
The John Q of it all.
The John Q of it all.
The John Q of it all.
I can't. When that woman, the scene where, because, and I think this was a strong choice. I was like, I like that they did that. I was like, this is a very strong emotional choice for me. Because watching that, I'm like, oh yeah, I can't. Like, I don't even have kids. I'm like, I don't care. I get the breakdown. Because they have, there's another kid in a room next to theirs. That child dies, and there's a scene where the mother's just losing her ever-loving mind, and then Denzel's wife, this woman's just watching this go down, and she's also starting to, like, I'm like, I can't, like, I couldn't grab my own breath. I was like, oh my God, like, and you know what's funny? None of this movie made me cry, but I felt so deeply emotional about it the entire time.
Yeah.
Because, like, I knew it was going to happen, but I was like, but get there, though. Please get there.
This is a movie with stakes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
This is a movie with snakes.
Like, I've watched movies where I'm like, I don't care. Thanos will wipe out half that. Like, it's like they just will revamp it. They'll just, it's fine. It's like, oh, they're going to destroy the whole world. No, they won't. The heroes will save it. I know how this is. And you're like, I mean, They could kill the fucking kid. I mean, he could, like, there's a version of this movie where he does it all for nothing. There's a version of this movie where he kills himself to try and save his son, and the son gets the transplant normally. There's a version of this where he saves his son and gets shot by the police at the end. Yeah. Like, there's a lot of ways this goes. There's, you know, and you're like, oh, yeah, no, like, I'm... no outcome in this was guaranteed.
Yes. Now, what I thought was a interesting choice, a very, what I would say, American choice, is, we can't solve this. Let's get a gun. I'm like, this is America versus America right now. This
yeah. is like, I was like, also, this came out in like 2002. It's crazy. You haven't solved any of these problems yet, America. Like, it's a, you know.
2002. I'm like, yeah, we're going to bring a gun into this.
Yeah.
I was like, that is a choice.
Well, and like, that's the other thing where it's like, okay, I feel like the movie needed to decide whether or not it was going to comment on that or not. And I feel like it whiffed it about halfway. Because there's a scene where they go, well, we can't give in to him. Because then every ER in America is going to have a gun in it. And I was like, I mean, you got two problems. You're right. You've got two problems.
But like, there's a nicer way to solve one of these.
There's...
Like, there's actually a way everybody could get,
you know,
what they want a bit.
Maybe treat everybody and then you don't need to. But then there is also the scene where the doctor just goes, ah, this is America right now. Kids are shooting themselves. You can get a gun too easily. You can just go and get it in 5 minutes. And you go, okay, and that's the only two references in the movie to, like, gun control and gun violence.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, I guess there is the thing where they bring the guy to the ER and he's like, what's wrong with him? And like, he was shot. You know,
he was
like,
shot. Also that the gun wasn't loaded the entire time.
Yes.
Which I think really, like, it went with the character. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I was never going to hurt anybody, even accidentally.
This is a man of his word and honor, okay? Yeah. Which is also why it vibes.
Let me tell you, that scene where he's saying goodbye to his son, where he's like, be a man, listen to your mother. You're not into girls yet, but when you are, treat them like princesses because that's what they are. Be a man of your word because it's all you got. I was like, oh, fucking Denzel.
Denzel, man.
Denzel, man.
Fucking, yeah.
Stop it.
I'm buying what he's selling. Absolutely, I'm buying what he's selling. Nailing the shit out of this.
Oh, my God. Very sad. Did you ever see him do Fences?
No.
So Fences is like a famous play, and he like did a movie version of it. But it's very much just like, it's like two guys talking. It's like, okay. And it's on. My God, he's good in that.
Oh, it's on my list now. I'm going to do it.
It's just like, it's him. And I think it's, I think it's Viola Davis.
Okay, yeah.
And then I forget who plays the son, but it's basically a three-person play. And it's just about this garbage man who like wants his son to be... And it's just good.
Okay, it's on, like, the list, Craig.
It's dramatic. It's gonna, like, I'm not saying it's not a bop. It's time to play everybody's favorite game, bop or not. John Q.
Not a bop.
She's the man.
A bop. Oh my God. It's such a bop.
What's another bop? Let's just round it out with a good one.
Oh, what's another bop? Oh my God. Why am I? We're at the end of the.
Just any bop. Just give me a bop.
Give you a bop. Ew. Ooh, Tremors.
Tremors. Okay.
Tremors is a bop.
Tremors is a bop. You're right.
You want to watch Reba McEntire fuck up. I'm sorry. It's just my favorite thing that I think I've seen.
Recently, yeah.
Yeah. You know when you see something and you're like, I can't believe this missed me.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Or like, oh, this is me.
Yes. Like watching Tremors, I was like, fuck, this is in rotation now. I like this. I will be going back to this. You know?
Bop or not. That's
bop
our new,
or not, Tremors.
Bop or not.
Even Tremors 2, I'd say.
Yeah. Which we've done episodes on both of those.
That's
now.
Right.
Yeah, we have. Full of bops. Anything else you wanted to run
by? Okay. Well, we have to talk about the police.
Oh yeah. Oh my God.
It's like, almost I think we're like, actually missing like a really large part of this.
Oh, the third problem in America. Okay. Whew, yeah, you're right. All right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So the police. So we have
Frank Grimes.
Frank Grimes and Ray Liotta. I'm just gonna. Yeah. it's Frank Grimes and Ray Liotta. I'm sorry. Ray Liotta is always Ray Liotta to me. So they're kind of. So they're opposing a bit.
Yes, I think we are supposed to think that Frank Grimes.
Yes.
Is kind of like, I'm on your side, buddy. I'm the good old hostage negotiator. I'm gonna get us out of this. Fine.
Which. No. I don't really feel like he does anything that does anything.
Yeah, okay.
I don't think he really stops a lot. I don't think he doesn't seem to be a character with a lot of impact, in my opinion.
Yeah, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. I did like him in this movie a little better because like I feel like the role of a hostage negotiator is not to be confrontational with the person. Like I think in a lot of movies you see it's like, listen, buddy, it's just me and you and you're not getting out of there. You're gonna give me the hostages. It's like very aggressive.
Yeah.
Where I was like, I think they got this right in this where it's like, well, listen, man, I'm just gonna keep talking. You're gonna talk to me. I get it. You've made some bad decisions. Mm-hmm. Like he's just trying to keep this going as long as it can possibly go because he knows the longer it goes, the better the like, you know what I mean? The more he can wear him down.
Okay, yeah.
And I think he's sort of, I think Ray Liotta kind of like cuts him off at the knees with that.
Okay, and do you think that's wrong?
Oh.
Because that was the one point where I was like, okay, that's really interesting. Because like, as far as they're concerned, he has a room full of hostages.
He's armed.
He has claimed he will start killing people at a certain moment. So they're like, okay, we got to get on this. Okay.
Yeah, I will give you that. There was a deadline given by him.
There was a deadline given by him. Okay. And they're like, okay, so we're going to try and intercept this.
Yeah.
Right or wrong?
Oh, you know what? I'm going to say, you know what? Given the circumstances, I'm going to say Ray Liotta was right.
Woo!
And he does do a really good speech too, where he goes like, I can live with one dead bad guy. I cannot live with a room full of dead hostages.
Yeah.
Like, and that's the decision I'm making. Mm-hmm. That's on my shoulders. Yeah. We're doing. I'm like, yeah. Because kids in there as well. You know, like there was babies. There was a pregnant woman, I think, at that point.
Yes.
Or she maybe had been released at that
point. And you're also, as far as you're concerned, and not obviously from our vantage point, because we're like, yeah, of course. Okay. But from the outside, you're like, oh, yeah, like this man is absolutely the most backed into a corner. Mm-hmm. Capable of anything.
Yeah. And let's not discount the fact either that he is shutting down an ER room.
Yeah.
That is not a trivial thing for any city or town or anything like that. Like this is the hospital that like gunshot victims are coming to. Mm-hmm. This is the hospital. And like obviously you don't see it in the movie, but obviously they at some point reroute everything to like further hospitals. But if you're in a car accident or you know badly hurt, construction accident, something like that, and you got to go a little bit further to get to a hospital because somebody's kind of going fucking nuts and shutting down one.
Well, that, I feel like, that you're, just, I feel like you're just talking about the pandemic now.
Yeah, exactly. Ain't great. It ain't great to shut down hospitals, you know?
Well, no, because within that, you'd be like, okay, well, I'm trying to, you know, save my son's life, but every person that comes in here is potentially dead.
Yeah.
So I don't care about anybody else's life.
Yeah, which they kind of try and skirt around. They're like, we'll take the gunshot victim.
Yes.
And he sort of forces the cardiac surgeon to do emergency surgery on the guy. And I do like that they said this. He goes, I am not an ER doctor. I am a cardiac surgeon. Mm-hmm. Those are different things.
Yeah.
Apples and oranges. And they're like, he's like, you're a doctor. You got to fuck. And he's like, I guess you're right. And they pull it off. But like, yeah, I would expect that a cardiac surgeon probably isn't up to speed on removing bullets from people.
Yeah, but I mean, better than most.
Give me a cardiac surgeon any day to sew me up. I think that guy's probably a banger with stitches. You know what I mean? He knows how to stitch.
Yeah. I don't know what to say. It's.
But what would you say about Ray Liotta?
Ray Liotta, okay. I think the difference is they kind of make it like, okay, this guy's a ham. You know what I mean? Like, he's out here for the media. He's talking to the mayor. But it's like, but also I think that's his job?
Yeah, a little bit.
I'm like, I feel like police, I'm like, maybe that's like a lot, like a lot of your stuff would probably be public, whatever.
Public facing, for sure.
Yes. Now, do I want to side with a police officer? In this instance, no, I get the call. I get the call. This man is capable of anything. He just told you he's going to start killing a bunch of people. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also don't even hate that he showed up here being like, this is obviously the most high profile thing that is happening in our city right now. I need to just be seen to be here.
Yes. Yeah. 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 I think that's fair. Yeah.
Yeah. And he does even say off the top, like, and I know it's kind of like a, of course, like, I'm not going to get in your way. It's your show to run. Do your thing. And I know, like, that's sort of said with a, but of course I'm not going to let you do your thing. I'm going to be this jerk who intervenes or whatever. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know. I don't fault him for being there, and I don't fault him for making the call that he has to make. But I think the big point of the movie is maybe we didn't need to have this situation to begin with.
Oh, yeah. And that is a point I would agree with.
Maybe how we structure society. We shouldn't have shootouts between cops and civilians in hospitals because their sons are
going to die. Because their sons are going to die. And it's
payments
like,
are criminals and all the rest. Yeah.
Yeah. Good Lord. Yeah. It wasn't a bot. It was effective. I felt a lot of things. I felt stressed. I did feel stressed.
Yep.
But wasn't a bot.
Yeah. I would say John Q, bit of a villain in this. Like, he's the hero, but like did villainous things. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But I think from our perspective, we're like, yeah.
He's the hero of the movie. Yes. But he's all, yeah. Anyway, it's one of those things where it's he's definitely right in his motivations, whether or not his actions are justified. You go, well,
what choice did he have?
He's actually great because it's like, what, like that is how we would end up, but for the grace of God. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, we could all see ourselves being in that corner.
Absolutely. Are we ready to rank that villain?
Yeah, absolutely. So I did the medical condition scale.
Great. I knew we wouldn't have the same one.
Infuriating medical condition scale even. From it'll clear up on its own. All the way up to...
Oh, it's good. I feel it.
Yeah. All the way up to you have 24 hours to live. Bad diagnosis. I'm going to give this the... I'm going to give John Q because I think he's... Yeah. I'm going to rank him. If it gets worse, come back and see me because let me tell you, nothing infuriates me. Justifiable rage. My God. Rebecca, let me just say, rage.
Rage.
I'm already here because it didn't get better.
Yeah.
That time frame has gone, and that's why I'm here to see you.
Yes.
When I went and got my new doctor, she like had an interview, like a hello, you know, let's go over your thing. And I go, that is one thing I cannot fucking stand a doctor telling me. It's like, well, if it gets worse, come back and see me. First of all, it's a fucking pain to get any kind of appointment.
Yes.
And by the time I get an appointment, it's going to be so much worse.
Yes.
So I'm here today, which means four days ago. It was already bad enough. It was already bad enough that I need to see a doctor.
I have such a high pain. I'll go for days and be like, nah, it's probably fine.
It'll clear. Yeah. By the time I get the doctor's appointment, it'll have cleared up. And then when it doesn't, you're like, oh, fuck. So don't tell me to go back. Don't tell me to come back later if it gets worse, because it's already worse. So this is John Q level furious rage I have for that.
That was a good scale. Dude.
And to be fair to my doctor, she has not done that to
me. Okay, good. Great. Great. We'd love to hear it.
Anyway, that's my scale.
Yeah.
Did you see how mad I am? Okay.
That was a good scale,
Thank you.
Felt every single one of those lines. I felt every single one. Brilliant. Yes.
What do you got for
us? I've got the absolutely ridiculous how the fuck could you name scale. So from Dr. Needle to Chef Peas and Carrots. I'm going to give the United States of America a Mademoiselle Long Legs. Fuck off. It's all bad. I hate it. Don't name any character this. This is terrible. Try more. Try harder.
Yeah. Oh, pain. You mean? Yeah. Gotcha. Oh, my God. Yes, guys. And if we're going to get to our heroes and villains of the week in a second. But first, a couple ways that you can help out the podcast. If you want to get in touch with us. Oh my God, we're on mostly all the social medias except for the bad ones. you know what we're talking about.
Yes.
We're on Instagram. We are on TikTok. We are on Facebook, all at The Villain Was Right. You can hit us up on email. Do you want us to do a movie that maybe isn't on our list yet? Hit us up. villainwasright@gmail.com. And if you have a couple bucks to help out the podcast.
As always, we are on Patreon. Patreon.com/thevillainwasright. We do two bonus episodes a month. This month, Craig picked Tremors 2. And I picked This Is Me, ..
Which we watched live together,
Wow. We had a blast. I had a really good time. We also have audience choice tiers. We have ad-free tiers. If you just want to say, hey, you can get on our Patreon. And if you listen to us for free, thank you so much for listening to us. You're amazing. And now it is time for our heroes and villains of the week. What do you got for us, Craig?
So I have a medical-related Craig Faye versus technology. Because it never ends with me. It never ends. I'm never gonna have a good relationship with it. Long story short, basically, I went to the dentist, and like they've been telling me for years, you need a mouth guard for when you sleep because you grind your teeth, buddy. You grind them away. You grind your teeth, and finally, I was like, yeah.
Oh, I've snapped a mouth guard.
Yeah. I was like eventually, I'll get this. And finally, I bit. And they're like, are you gonna come in and get this? I was like, oh, yeah.
So much more expensive if you don't, I swear to God.
Oh, yeah. No. Preaching to the choir.
Sorry.
Preaching to the choir. Absolutely. So I finally go in to get this. And the dentist is like, oh, my God. Like, it's so great these days. You know, like, we don't, you know, it used to be like you had to sit there with, like, a mold and you had to bite into it and set it. He's like, we don't have to do any of that anymore. Technology is amazing. We can just 3D scan your mouth. We've got a printer in the basement that prints it out and it creates this new thing for you. And I was like, all right. I don't think this is going to work.
You know, we had two different, very different reactions there. Because I was like, oh, shit, that sounds sick. And you were like, not on my watch.
No. I was like, no, that all sounds good. But also, just a sneaking suspicion in my head. I don't think this is going to work as well as you think it's going to.
That's
so
funny.
They start doing it. And it's like this big, like, wand thing that they're, like, sticking in your mouth. Like, it's almost like one paddle of a hair straightener. Kind of,
know,
and like it's making like noises with like boop, boop, deep, beep, boop, boop, deep, beep, you know, like clearly like scanning, got it. And so the dentist lays, and so it's just the hygienist, and she's kind of going through it, and it's making these noises. And then she gets to like the back bottom right of my mouth, and she's like beep, boop. But like it just keeps like you can hear it's just like nope, didn't get it. And she's like, so sorry. This is weirdly sensitive to saliva. Sometimes saliva throws it off. And I was like, and you're sticking this in my mouth? That's where saliva lives.
Yeah, that seems like a flaw.
That's a flaw.
That's a design flaw.
So she's getting it back. She keeps trying to do it. And she's like, I don't know. I'm having trouble with this. I keep going. Mm-hmm. Finally, the dentist comes back and he's like, what's going on? She's like, oh, I'm just having trouble. He's like, okay, I'm going to get in there with like the suction and try and get this. And they keep jamming it back there.
Your mouth is too juicy.
Yeah, and they're like, it's the saliva. It's the saliva. I was like, even the dentist joking me, like, it's your fault. I was like, that's where the saliva is. I kid you not, they're trying again for like another like 5 minutes, the two of them sucking out the saliva, trying to jam it in there, like trying to holding, like getting the thing, like pulling the tongue around. It's like after 5-10 minutes of this, a third person has to come in, another dental hygienist, to like take over and try it again. And they like after like I was in the chair for like half an hour. them trying to scan this back molar that was too sensitive to saliva. And they're like, we finally got it. We finally threw it. And they're like, sorry, that took so long. I was like, I told you. I fucking told you. It's me. I guarantee you this worked for every other person you've ever used it on. It's fucking me. I have like a microwave That's transmitter so funny. Embedded somewhere inside me that is just going to scramble any piece of technology I come close
to.
You got the mouth guard.
Good job.
And now I grind that at night. It's
nice.
Actually quite great.
Yeah, it's nice. It's nice, dude. As somebody who snapped her first one pretty fucking quick, you could tell I needed it. just snap that bad boy in half in my sleep. That's good.
That's my villain of the week. What do you got?
I've got I have like a hero of the week. Which is, so I kind of lose, as long as it's like safe, I would say, I kind of have this rule where if somebody asks me to do like a really weird show, like something I've never heard of,
yeah,
I'll go do it just to see what the fuck it is.
And
right?
A story, right?
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, oh, if this is bad, like, especially if I like who's booking it and I'm like, oh, my friends are going to be there. Like, yeah, we'll just go and we'll see what the fuck this is, right? Anyway, so I got booked to perform in a sauna. Like a literal sauna, okay? And I was like, what does that mean? And they were like, okay, listen, like, it's a Monday gig, pays all right, like, you know what I mean, couple of free passes of sauna, you can come back. And I was like, okay, like, yeah, all right, I mean, I'll give it a go, whatever. And I show up. Now, mind you, the only downside was that it took like all evening, but it was kind of a fun hangout, so I didn't really mind because I was like, oh, I like doing like that, like a cold plunge and then going to the sauna and cold plunge and what have you. So what they did, I just thought this was so interesting. And I was like, so the owner of, it's Othership in Toronto. There's two locations and they're opening one up in New York, from what I understand. Anyway, so they were in New York scouting like where they want to put their sauna and cold bath. And they went to the cellar afterwards. And they were like, the comedy cellar afterwards. And they just had such a good time there that they were like, oh, like, we actually think these two things go together. Like, we think our clientele, like the people that come here regularly, would think this is kind of cool and neat and like something fun to do as an activity. And I was like, honestly, yeah, let's go, yeah. Right? So what they did was they got everybody, and there was like 70 people. Like, it was like a lot of people. They would get everybody in groups, obviously, because you couldn't fit everybody at the same time, but they would get them all to do the cold plunges. And then got them all to get into the sauna at the same time. And then we performed in the sauna with a spotlight and like a Britney Spears mic. That's the only way I can call them that. It's a Hit Me Baby One More Time. And everybody's in, we're all in our bathing suits. And I just sweat my fucking ass off the whole time, of course. I was just pouring off of me, dude.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sweaty always, okay? Just regularly. I'm sweaty right now. It's like fucking 5 degrees outside. I'm like, I'm wearing a tee. I'm sweaty right now. Sweating my ass off, just voice cracking, and everybody smashed. And it was just such a nice audience, and it was so strange and weird and cool. It was like, it was just amazing. And I was like, okay, you know what? This was honestly the best. I had like zero expectations going in, and I just thought it was such an interesting thing. And the owner even said, he's like, this might be the first time anyone's ever done this. And I'm like, that is actually kind of possible. Yeah. I don't think anybody, I don't know, maybe a couple times, I was like, I don't think anybody's had this idea before. It's so strange, but it was so much fun.
That's great.
And yeah, I don't know. This is just, I don't even know what my point is here of just like trying new shit or something. I guess I don't know, or that I'm a weirdo and I love doing weird things.
That's a hero for sure. Like, yeah, just new experience, new thing.
And I just also thought it was cool that owner wanted to try something.
Yeah.
But also produced it really well and understood, like, listened to, you know, the guys running the show and being like, no, we need this, and this for this to work, and like breaking up the show in two parts because, like,
heat stroke.
Well, yeah, like, you can only, like, everybody, you can only sit in there for like, it was like 20 minutes and then you go do another cold plunge because, like, let's be for real. Although I will say this as a side note, I'm like, I have never been more intimidated by a group of people. I was like, you are all gorgeous. Every person in that place, I was like, where am I? What is happening here? I was like, I wasn't ready for this. Okay. I'm going to need about 3 months and then I'll come back. Hey. Anyway, it was so funny, but yeah, it was really cool and really great. And they were an awesome audience. And I just thought it was just such a neat, weird thing to do. Anyway, that's my hero of the week.
Love it.
Where can people follow you, Craig?
Yeah, you can follow me at Craig Faye Comedy on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, CraigFaye.com for show dates.
And as always, you can follow me at Rebecca Reads on any platform of your choosing. Next week, we're swinging for the fences, team. We're swinging for the fences. We are covering Shrek.
Oh, boy.
How's that going to look? I don't know, but I'm excited. So you can check that out next week. And this is The Villain Was Right, reminding you it's not goodbye. We will see you later.
Oh.
The Villain Was Right is produced by Andrew Ivamy as part of the From Superheroes Network. For more great podcasts like this, as well as webcomics, articles, and so much more, visit FromSuperheroes.com.